As we prepare our hearts and minds for the memorial coming up April 7th, we thought it would be very appropriate to have a little bit of a devotional and discussion on the privilege of prayer and our privilege that we do have to come before the Heavenly Father and to feel his closeness and his benevolence, you know, to us. You know, the privilege of prayer, and this is, we're going to read a little bit of portions of reprints 50:21, where Brother Russell talks about the privilege of prayer. And he says, prayer is a privilege. Jesus not only did not command his disciples to pray, nor did he even give them a form of prayer until they requested it. You know, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, either uttered or unexpressed. And that's one of the things that, you know, we want to think about is, you know, we say a lot of verbal prayers. We just heard one now. But a lot of times we pray in our head and we have unspoken prayers, and those are just as appropriate, in fact, probably even more appropriate than our spoken prayers. You know, the Lord's people must feel their need of the divine grace to help in order to appreciate the privilege of approaching the throne of heavenly grace. The trials and difficulties, the sorrows and the temptations of life frequently impel God's children, you and I, brethren, to prayer. And it marks even a higher Christian development when they love to come before the throne of grace. Brethren, do you love to come before the throne of grace and have this privilege? If you stop to think about it, if we were in the presence of the President of the United States, you know, what a great honor that would be. Think of what it means to come to the Creator of the universe. It makes the President of the United States very small in comparison. And yet, we have that privilege, brethren. And we come not only in our sorrows, but also in our joys to give thanks, to praise, to worship, and to adore. Brother Russell goes on to say, vain repetitions of the heathen, and all our heathens or Gentiles, all of the world who have not left the world and come into a covenant relationship with God through Christ. And such outsiders, not only understanding the only way, the only door of God's favor, vainly suppose that they will be heard for their much speaking and therefore repeat their prayers much often. Some use praying wheels, others use beads, and still others repeat hundreds of times of certain ejaculations. You know, brethren, we recognize that the Lord is not required to listen to anyone whose prayers are not that don't come from the consecrated, but that does not mean that he does not and will not listen or to act upon one who is earnestly praying. But what we remember is that he is not required to. And we might use an example of the next-door neighbor child who would come in with your own child, and you would invite him to dinner. It's not an obligation. You don't have to give him dinner or invite him to dinner, but you may do so if you so desire. But if your own child, you are required to feed him and to take care of him. And that's the illustration that the Lord is using at this time. And we recognize that he only is required to those of Jesus' followers. And Jesus counsels those to think that the length of their prayers would make them acceptable to the Father, would not make them acceptable to the Father. They have no need to offer long prayers, because as Jesus said, your Father knoweth all the things that you have need of. Why then should you, we might ask the question, then why should we ask at all if the Lord knows our every need? But this is the divine arrangement, brethren. And evidently, Brother Russell goes on, he says, with the purpose of stimulating our faith, and of giving us the greater and the more frequent blessings, God thus deals with us as dear children, whom he loves. Think about that, brethren. The God of the universe numbers the very hairs on our head. He loves us, and whom he would educate into the practice of life that would be most helpful to themselves. When Jesus had long prayers to offer, they were not uttered in public. And just as we had now, we don't, when Brother Art opened the meeting, he didn't have to go into an hour's dissertation of a public prayer. But our prayer life is mainly that which is in seclusion with ourselves and our Heavenly Father. And this is when we noticed that the scriptures said that when they tell of Jesus' long prayers, they were between himself and the Heavenly Father. Sometimes he prayed all night long. But this was not public prayer, but this was prayer that he had with his Heavenly Father when he went apart into the mountain. And so with we, his followers, should also come aside from our daily lives and to go to the Father chiefly in private. Although, as we opened our meeting, fellowship in public prayer in gatherings of the Lord's people is distinctly approved. So, you know, we thought with these opening remarks that we would like to spend the rest of our time thinking of our Heavenly Father in both prose and song. And we're going to have Sister Sue Surrey read The Sweet Briar Rose.
The sweet briar rose, beside my cottage door it grows, the loveliest, daintiest flower that blows, a sweet briar rose. A dewy morn or twilight's close, the rarest perfume from it flows, this strange wild rose. But when the raindrops on its feet, ah, then its odors grow more sweet about my feet. Oft times with loving tenderness, its soft leaves I gently press, its sweet caress. A still more wondrous fragrance flows, the more my fingers firmly close and crush the rose. Dear Lord, oh let it my life be so, its perfume when the tempest blow, the sweeter flow. And should it be thy blessed will, with crushing grief my soul to fill, press harder still, and while its dying fragrance flows, I'll whisper low, he loves and knows his crushed briar rose.
Shall we sing along with this hymn number 1, Abide Sweet Spirit? Hymn number 1, Abide Sweet Spirit.
Thank you.
Brethren, were you thinking of the words as you sang this hymn? That with light and comfort from above, be thou our guardian and thou our guide. You know, this is what the Christian wants of our Heavenly Father, to follow in his footsteps and follow in the ways that be pleasing to him, and to walk just as Jesus said, not only to do his will, but he came to do the Father's will. So we also want to walk more circumspectly in the ways that would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and that we want him to plant holy fear in us in every heart, that we may never depart from walking in the ways that be pleasing to him, and nor let us from his pastures stray. You know, these are the things that we want to make a part of our thinking and a part of our life of sweet fellowship with one another. And that's one of the reasons why we gather together, is to build one another up in ways that we might not leave strive to depart from and to do our will. And we had a very good illustration of that in our previous study. You know, we all want to be like Mary was, and to act spontaneous and do the things that would be pleasing in our Father's sight. And we don't have Jesus, but we have